The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello there, and holiday greetings to you. This is Fred Brack from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known to you as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974, and underwriting our program for over 10 years. Want to talk to them? Give them a call, 919-781-1973. Time to break the cover open on a brand new edition of Our State magazine celebrating North Carolina. This one, of course, for December 2019. It says, Season's Greetings on the cover. And they talk about holiday presents of past and present, tiny twinkling villages in Raleigh, presents by parachute in Manteo, speedway lights in Charlotte, and five vintage Christmas recipes, which we're not going to talk about. I don't know how much of this we'll get to, but we'll see the best we can do. We are going to start out today as we do the first issue or first reading of the new issue every month with the Welcome to Our State magazine by Elizabeth Hudson, editor-in-chief. She calls her little editorial, if that's what we can call it, Miracle on Fayetteville Street this time. A new business opened at 156 South Fayetteville Street in downtown Asheboro, a gourmet popcorn shop called Asheboro Popcorn Company. And the owners have the place looking so good. They've put up a red and white striped, cherry red, Christmas red, awning, and painted the front door to match. They've propped red and white striped pillows in the front window, and built the tables and counter by hand from local white oak. Inside, on the wall, they framed an old paper menu, yellowed with age and stained with grease splatters. And, well, give me just a minute on that. Years before this space became a popcorn shop, it housed the Recreation Soda Shop. My dad worked there in the 1950s when he was in high school, pulling Cokes and dipping ice cream. He went off to college. The soda shop changed hands a time or two. And then, in 1979, my dad bought the equipment in the old restaurant. The milkshake machine and the ice cream freezer, the flat-top grill, the bun steamer, all of it. And opened his own sandwich shop in the same spot called Phil's. His first name, of course. He worked so hard to make the place special. He built the seating by hand, booths from local white pine. He painted the front door and hung wallpaper and herb pattern, and boxed up utensils from our kitchen at home, spatulas, spoons, and forks, and carted them to the restaurant. He used my mom's stock pots for his vegetable soup. He chopped pounds of chicken for chicken salad and grated piles of cheddar for his pimento cheese. And he wrote a four-page menu, typing every word on my beloved red, cherry red, Christmas red, Smith Corona manual typewriter. I sat beside him at the kitchen table, helping him hunt for the letters as he pecked out descriptions for his country ham sandwich. From Watoga County, and not too salty. And his famous foot-long hot dog, Brian's all-meat wiener. His restaurant drew a crowd. Lawyers and bankers and downtown shoppers came every day, and for years, my dad helped feed a town. It's been 40 years since Phil's closed. 2 months ago, I got a note from the new tenants, the popcorn shop folks, a husband and wife named Greg and Sarah Holden. In the process of redesigning the space, Sarah told me they'd uncovered something wedged behind an old cabinet, and she thought I'd want to know about it. I drove to Asheboro to visit the shop. First time I've been in the space in 40 years. Sarah and Greg have renovated it beautifully. I saw the cheerful red awning, the red door, and then framed on the wall. Well, just give me a minute on this. There it was, that old menu typed so carefully by my dad, now hung in a place of honor by people who never knew his restaurant, but who felt kinship for what came before, for the memories housed in this space. My face wet with tears, I read every word again. My dad would have been so happy to see it all, to know that something he had created and endured, preserved in the space filled with stories and history, infused with so much cheer and joy. What a wonderful gift. Merry Christmas to us all. Elizabeth Hudson, Editor-in-Chief. Now, she does include a photograph here of the menu. I'm just going to pick at a little bit of it here, and then we will move on. It says, sandwiches, deli style, grilled on rye bread and served with chips and pickle, Reuben, $2.95. Thin slices of Kahn's finest corned beef with sauerkraut, Swiss cheese, and a Thousand Island dressing, corned beef, $2.35. Tender slices cooked in her own way with mustard and mayonnaise, Swiss cheese, 15 cents extra. And pastrami, $2.35, eye round peppered beef, flats from Kahn's and sliced medium thick by us. With mustard or mayonnaise, Swiss cheese, 15 cents. Okay, Star Wars fans, you can relax. That is John Williams and his Boston Pops from many years ago. That's the Star Trek, I should say, Star Trek, the television show. Now I'd like to bring you the photo essay from our state. Season's greetings, it says. A card always means more at the end of the year, delivering glad tidings and family news, joy, and hope to mailboxes across North Carolina. Written by Katie St. Singh. Picture here of a lot of Christmas boxes, beautifully wrapped, and all of them have ribbon and a bow in the center, and they are arranged in the shape of the state of North Carolina. Merry, merry, from Murphy Demantio. Our state's graphic artist, Doug Alexander, designed a card to celebrate this festive season and our favorite state. And on the right-hand side, we have some cards wrapped up with a red and white string with a bow, and it's addressed. It has a USA Forever stamp on it with Santa looking out at us, and an extra card dropped off the bottom, and a gold letter opener, and a few little ornaments spread around here and there. Overleaf Home for the Holidays. Since its founding in 1902, Children's Home Society of North Carolina, CHS, has placed more than 16,000 children into nurturing homes. To benefit their work with families across the state, CHS began selling Christmas cards more than 40 years ago. But it wasn't until 5 years ago that the organization began featuring artwork from the children in their care. Now, professional artists in Raleigh, Charlotte, and Greensboro work with CHS kids, some of them adopted, some in foster care, to create their own works of art. The project's doubled as a form of therapy, and when recipients open these cards, that's what they see. A child's excitement, not only about Christmas time, but also about spending quality time with other kids in foster care. For them, the joy is in the camaraderie. And you can find the CHS Christmas cards at chsnc.org/shop. And here are some of the cards. This is a light blue background representing, I suppose, the sky. And on it are three round balls, white along the edges, representing a snowman stacked at a slight angle. He has a black hat, black sunglasses, three black square buttons, and a colored, a thin colored tie around his neck. And snow is falling from the sky. And here's an interesting one. This is a very artistic Christmas tree. The base is at a bit of an angle. It's a red box, not solid red, but sort of like you'd get a red if you were pushing with a sponge or something like that through a form. And then there are various lines, each one a little shorter than the one below it, and they're not stacked perfectly straight. They're at little angles, and so there's one angling up. The next one up is red. It's angling a little it's higher on the left than the right-hand side, and then we have a pink one, and it drops underneath it. Then we have a kind of a lime green, and then a medium blue, and the green, and they get smaller and smaller till we get to a star on the top, and the card is trimmed in red against a white background. I have a present wrapped with a very large red bow and extra ribbon hanging out the edges. And on the next page over, here is a watercolor of another snowman, sticks for arms, and a black squiggle for a hat, and some eyes and buttons, and against a blue and white background. And then season's greetings, and the same type of design was used on the Christmas tree is used. They're short little blocks of color. Mostly of them are green or light green or a lighter color, but there are a couple of red ones at the top, and they're sprinkled around, and it says season's greetings in the middle. Overleaf, cards of hope, Greensboro. William Mangum's snowy scenes impart a sense of serenity, and for more than 30 years they've also represented a helping hand. Around the time that Mangum first created a painting for Greensboro Urban Ministry's Honor Card program, he had a chance meeting with a homeless man that blossomed into a 3-year friendship. That man died in 1990, but his impact on Mangum was profound, and the artist has continued to create paintings for the honor cards ever since. Each $5 card has an inspiring theme. This year is I'll Stand By You, and the proceeds go toward food, shelter, health care, and education for those in need. In all, the program has raised more than $8 million for homeless agencies across the state. Mangum continues his work with Greensboro Urban Ministry, serving breakfast weekly and offering words and images of comfort. You can learn more about these and find out how to purchase them at thehonorcard.com. And here's William, a little picture on the left. He's looking at us. He's got a big smile on his face. His left hand is on the shoulder of another man who has a white coat on and a green cap and a well-trimmed beard, it looks like, white beard on his dark face, and he looks very happy, and he has a little beverage cup in front of him. Now, there are several cards on the page, and these are obviously professionally done. They are all of houses, or in one case, a church, and they're all snowy scenes. We see snow heavily laden on the tree branches, and then for a deciduous tree, pretty bare except for a little dusting of snow. The roof of the house is covered with snow. It's a blue and white sky behind, and a fence in need of a little bit of straightening here in the front. And another one, a man is on the lawn playing with his dog. It's sitting up on its hind legs, it looks like, and it looks like they're paying patty cake or something like that. The house has blue clapboard, but heavily snowed on the roof, and again, the evergreens have a lot of snow on them, and the deciduous tree has very little. And on the right, we have a church, and it has a green steel roof. And of course, because of the steepness of the roof, and probably because of the fact that it's metal, most of the snow has fallen off or melted off. But we see some hills in the background and blue sky. Ink and paper, Waxhaw. When you have a letterpress piece in your hand, it's an experience, Chris Paul says. Every piece can be unique. He discovered traditional printing methods while in grad school. 20 years later, he spends as much time as possible in his print shop full of heavy machinery, a low-tech complement to his day job in software design. The Christmas cards that he creates with his wife, Danielle, often hold special meaning for their family. In 2017, during their son's first semester at UNC, they thought of the flock of cardinals, also known as a college, that frequent their backyard. On that year's card, one red bird flies in to join his family for winter break. If you want to find out more about these cards, look at oldnorthstatepress.com. The first one up here is a very simple three Christmas balls from a like kind you'd put on a tree hanging there. Simply a light blue color with snowflake pattern on each one of them, and a string holding them up going right off the top of the card, which is white on the background. Now the next one over is different shaped balls. There, some are round, some are almost square but hung by the corners, but two of the corners are curved, and these come in red and gold and light blue. And then we have the cardinal picture. One cardinal is coming in from the left to meet his buddies that are already perched in the tree on the right. So the key aspect of this is the bright red of the cardinal against the pure white background and the black of the bare tree branches. And then we have a Santa Claus, perhaps not with the traditional long white hair, but he does have white. It kind of sticks up in front, and it's white there, and it turns black as you get further back. And Santa has rimless glasses on, and a big mustache, and a white beard, and a red shirt. But he's got his left sleeve pulled all the way up to the shoulder, and he has an extremely muscular arm, which you probably wouldn't expect on Santa Claus, and a big heart with a band across it that says, Mom. And we see Chris Paul here at his press, and it says Chris coaxes beauty out of his 1964 Heidelberg 10x15 windmill printing press. It can be complex, but in the end, it's mashing things into paper, he says. It's artistry and engineering coming together to make fun and beautiful things. And if you're not making something fun and beautiful, what are you doing? And this shows him smearing ink on a roller. And that's why there are such simple colors on these, because you have to roll them on multiple passes, I believe, going on one at a time. Overleaf postmark, North Carolina, Lexington. In 1980, Bob Timberlake, whose scenes of life in the South are so deeply familiar to North Carolinians, got to share his memories of Christmas past with a much wider audience. Timberlake was about a decade into his career as an artist when the U.S. Postal Service asked him to design a Christmas stamp, and he was thrilled. He drew inspiration from his own collection of antique toys, a drum, a 1920s era horn with a hand-carved wooden mouthpiece, and a top from the early 1900s. The simple vignette resonated with people across the country. Many wrote to him to tell him how much they had loved his season's greetings stamp, how it looked like the Christmases they remembered. That made it very, very special for me, he says. I think it was more down-to-earth than people were used to seeing on stamps back then, more realistic. You can learn more about Timberlake at BobTimberlake.com. Here he sits in dark blue pants and a light blue long-sleeved shirt, his hands clasped together as he sits, and he has a very big smile on his face. Looks like he's might be sitting in or just outside of his studio. And here's that stamp. You can tell it was a long time ago. It says USA 15 cents. What is it, 55 cents now? Wow. And then it says season's greetings in red across the bottom. And in the picture, it's half of a window. Perhaps a quarter of a window might be a better way to say it. The lower right quarter. We see half of a wreath that was hung in the center of the window. We see that toy drum with drumsticks. It has red rim at the top and the bottom and a pattern on the side. And there's the toy horn. and a top leaning against the window. Joy to the world, Charlotte. For as long as she can remember, Jamie Hennell has created art, first with crayons and paper, and now years later with digital media. She started her line of stationery, Hennell Paper Company, in 2012, while working as a graphic designer in Detroit, Michigan. A move to Charlotte brought fresh inspiration. Hennell and her husband traded gray skies for blue, a flat landscape for rolling green hills, and long winters for the rare, special snowfall. They love being surrounded by nature and taking road trips around the state. "I think that's my dream life one day," she says, "to get a camper, take the pets with us, and get away to the mountains." The thought was so cozy that, like the rest, like all of her best ideas, she put it on a greeting card. "I focus on creating cheery and bright designs that will make people happy when they open that envelope," she says. "I want to share my joy with the world." You can find her cards at HennellPaperCo.com. Lower left, it's a, it's an, I guess you'd call it an artificial, looks like an artificial plant, in a red container at the bottom, which says Merry and Bright, and the little leaves on the plant itself have Christmas lights on them, and it drapes down off the right-hand side. And then there's another one, which in script says, fa-la-la-la. Yes, there's an extra la-la. That's an extra la there. And underneath is a camper with a Christmas tree on top of it, sideways. It's obviously being carted someplace. It's wrapped up and, I guess, strapped to the top, and there are some Christmas lights hanging down the side. Or maybe that's just how the person who bought the camper was going to display it, on its side with a lot of the lights underneath. And there's a window in the camper, and it has a cat and a cup of coffee and a sprig of greenery and a red door on the camper with a green Christmas wreath. And then here's another card that says Noel, and it is a bluebird on red skates on a small pond with its birdhouse in the back with some colored lights on the top. And here's a picture of Jamie working, says it's one of Jamie Fennell's favorite things about making art is being able to work from home, surrounded by her pets. "They're always around helping me and getting in my way," she jokes. Her five cats and two dogs include Dinah, the 13. Oh, we are sorry. Not exactly what happened here. We had some kind of an equipment failure, and just don't quite know what to make of it. So we're not quite sure where things left off with you, what you heard. But we were at the end of reading one article, so we're going to start again, and we're going to skip the music in the background for the moment and continue with our article, and hope you. We're not too annoyed. We know we were annoyed on this end. Anyway, mid-century Mary in Raleigh. In 1955, when Wilhelm Reinhold Valentiner, became the founding director of the brand new North Carolina Museum of Art, he was nearing the end of a long and distinguished career that spanned several museums in major cities. Born in Germany, he moved to the United States to begin to work as curator of the decorative arts at the Metropolitan Museum of Art before holding positions at the Detroit Institute of Arts, the Los Angeles County Museum, and the Getty Museum. No wonder, then, that his interesting friends, colleagues, and acquaintances were scattered across the country. Including in his papers are a number of Christmas cards, many of them with an artistic sensibility. And in 1955, the year Valentiner received the cards on these pages, mid-century modern flair. This is a cute one of somebody on ice. Big slip, midair. The skis are over the head, and expression of impending disaster on this little figure's space. And then here's a pen and ink drawing of a building, probably, let me see, this is in Jefferson Standard Life Insurance Company. And then it says the Blue Period Christmas. No surprising that Valentiner knew an influential art dealer like Paul Rosenberg, who represented Matisse and Picasso. Rosenberg's card below featured a drawing from the latter. So it's a stair. It's a pen and ink drawing of a stairwell or a balcony, I guess, a railing on a balcony. And then there's a very nice drawing of a little downtown square with people picking up Christmas trees and putting them in their automobiles. Overleaf, across oceans, Wilmington. Christmas Day began, as it always did, aboard the USS North Carolina with a reveille to rouse the sailors. And then a small band played carols over the ship's loudspeakers. For three Christmases during World War II, from 1942 to 1944, the battleship was in the South Pacific, and although there were big meals and burlesque shows, the conditions must have made it difficult to feel like celebrating. There were no trees and no decorations. Chuck Patty, a radioman from the Charlotte area, recalled of Christmas 1943, "It was really a day when you got homesick. The biggest event of the day was the Christmas meal and a large shipment of mail." The USS North Carolina is a familiar sight on the Wilmington waterfront now, but its archive, full of slips of paper that once carried warm wishes across the sea, reminds us of a time when it wasn't, and how much the simple exchange of a Christmas card means so far from home. Here's a picture of Santa with a sailor's hat on and a bag that says USS North Carolina, presenting a gift to a young boy who's holding his sister's hand, and right above his head are some question marks and exclamation points. He's so excited. Down below it says, "Merry Christmas from the captain, officers, and men of the USS North Carolina." And there's a photograph here of some of them. And there's another Merry Christmas with a cross, this time Red Cross, and a picture of the ship. It says USS North Carolina, and Happy New Year down at the bottom. Greetings to one of Uncle Sam's boys. Then we had a coastal Christmas in Wilmington. "You should put a Santa hat on that crab." Watercolorist Mary Ellen Golden had painted plenty of crabs around Wilmington. They're bound to scuttle their way into an observant artist's canvas. But 13 years ago, she took her new gallery manager's suggestion to heart, and Crabby Claws was born. It was the first in a line of Christmas cards sold at the Golden Gallery, which Mary Ellen opened in the Cotton Exchange in 1977 and now runs with her son John, who's also an artist. "I try to include things that people will recognize from Christmas at the beach," she says, "like Surf Santa," really Mary Ellen's husband, "bringing home a holiday cedar or shorebirds in search of a tree to decorate." Well, that's about all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. Hope you enjoyed it, and you'll be sure to listen to us next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Comments and questions, call the studios, 919-832-5138. So long for now.